I was seeing ads from companies that were at that trade show and always kind of think, oh, this is how that happens. I knew how it happened technically, but I'd never really seen it in person.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Foremost Media Marketing Chat podcast. It's me, Evan Faesiger, and also John Ballard. John, how's it going today?
I'm good, Evan. Thanks for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here. Excited about the topic today.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think it's a good topic about everybody or a business that requires certain things on local locations' favorite topic. And maybe if it's not their favorite topic, it will be soon. Geofencing. So, John, you want to start us off and tell us what we mean when we say geofencing?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and geofencing is kind of a generic term, right? So, you know, I've been talking to a few clients here lately, and why I kind of wanted to cover this topic today was I think there's a lot of misconception around what geofencing even is. I guess let's start with maybe my definition of geofencing. I define geofencing as drawing a circle around or a outline around a specific location and then targeting those people that are coming in and out of that location with ads, whether it's when they're there or later, right? Is that how you kind of define it, Evan?
Yeah, exactly, right? It's that location-based marketing tool so you can get very precise on where you want to either serve your ads when somebody enters that location or tag them afterwards.
Right. And I think where the confusion came with the customers I was talking about was they were thinking Google Ads does this, right? But Google Ads is a little different animal. With Google Ads, you can definitely drill down to like a city level or, that type of thing, but you can't get as specific as like your competitor's building. That's kind of, I think, the biggest distinction. And you can do some geotargeting on Facebook, you know, as well. But again, I don't think it's nearly as target specific as the boundaries of a specific building or, you know, a city block or something like that.
Yeah. And I think that that's a good point, right? Is that how specific do you want to get in your location-based targeting and why? Yeah. That's always the big thing. You know, is there a benefit? You mentioned around a specific building, and we've had a lot of success with that, running them for trade shows around that building, targeting competitors, right? If you're looking for employees around that building, anything else that I guess you've seen, maybe even not building specific, but just specific areas that are more than just anyone in the zip code.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, if you're trying to target a zip code, you have a little more generic product that you want to sell to everybody. Where if you're trying to target a building, yeah, you need a really specific person. So you're trying to reach maybe even just a few people in that building, not necessarily everybody. So, you know, like you said, we had good success with geotargeting around trade shows. Let's talk about that scenario. So a company's going to a trade show. They've spent a lot of money to be there. What we can do is we can geotarget the convention center, right? And then we can actually target people when they're there at the convention, or we can follow them home and show ads after the convention because they were in that location. So it gives you a lot of flexibility. And we've had good success with this. You know, not only is it inexpensive, I mean, you get a lot of impressions for a fairly low amount of money, but it also just reinforces the brand, and then you can get good clicks out of it as well. Is that what you've experienced with trade show marketing, and what am I missing there?
Yeah, no, I think you hit a lot of it. And, you know, the big thing too is that it's on multiple channels. I think that's the other differentiator outside of the targeting. But when you do use geofencing, depending on the system that you're using, and there are a lot, right? Whether you're going direct to the service provider, the ad platforms themselves, or using a sort of DSP for it, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can target them. And that could be on their mobile device, right? It could be on their desktop or certain websites, I should say. You can even take it, you know, and advertise it on their, you know, TVs, you know. So whether it's an OTT or connected TV, there's a lot of different types of targeting options for that, especially if you're going more of the route of tagging them and then showing them later, which works for trade shows also. There's a lot to be said about, you know, targeting people when they're at the area. Hey, come by the booth. The trade show is still going on. But what happens after that trade show? Now, you still want to get in front of those people. You still want to have the advertising. They're inundated with a lot of messages, a lot of times, a lot of different companies at those trade shows. So the more that you can follow up with them afterwards, that can help quite a bit also.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the technology, right? It's not like we're able to just send them a text message because they were at the trade show. Most of the geotargeting platforms, and including the ones we use and kind of sell and have had good success with, have relationships with different apps. So, for example, they could be, at that trade show, get home and look at the weather app, and that's where they might see the ad from the trade show. So they're, or on a magazine or something along that lines, magazine website, so they're display ads, generally speaking. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and I think you made a good reference there about using the different platforms and how they're getting targeted for it. Because let's face it, if you were, a large company, if you're Microsoft, or Amazon, you wouldn't rely on the same types of tools. You could develop your own way, to implement geofencing, because you have your own custom app. However, when you are a small business, you want to tap into these other networks that have these different partnerships so that it's a lot more feasible to use on a small, medium-sized business scale to run that sort of location-based advertising.
This when this really hit home for me, I was playing Candy Crush, believe it or not, and I was at a trade show in Texas, and I got home, and all of a sudden on Candy Crush, I was seeing ads from companies that were at that trade show, and I was kind of like, oh, this is how that happens. I knew how it happened technically, but I'd never really seen it in person, so kind of interesting. But the other thing, let's talk a little bit more. Trade shows are obviously one aspect. The other aspect we've had good success with is corporate recruiting, right? So take for the example, you're a company that needs welders, right? What other companies in your town, have welders that you might be able to poach? Could we run geofencing ads around those companies and then show them ads when they get home at night, for a new open position for welders or, anything along that lines? We've also done it, on the corporate level, like aviation. If you're trying to get in and talk to aviation engineers, we could, if we know where the headquarters are and where most of their aviation engineers hang out, we could show them pretty specific ads. Now, the janitor is going to wonder why he's getting an ad for, some technical aviation product, but it can reach the right people if you use it in that way.
Yeah, and that's one thing I found is that you don't want your ads to be shown in front of the wrong people, but you also don't want to focus too much on avoiding the wrong people that you don't get in front of the right people, especially when you look at the costs of impressions, or if you're paying per click, you only have to worry about the accidental click if that's a scenario that you have it set up at. So, you don't want to focus too much on that side of things. Clearly targeted better, but there's always going to be a little bit that carries over. And too often, I think that people focus too much on, I don't want that janitor to see it. And that could be the case, but it's something that I would derail a campaign because if you can get in front of so many people that you do want to see it and just the janitor happens to see it, it's a trade-off there.
Yeah, there's one janitor and 50 aeronautical engineers. I'd still run my ad with the hopes that 49 of the aeronautical engineers and one janitor see it. So.
Right. And when you start taking a look at targeting employees, it's interesting because right now, currently, everybody's fighting over certain talents. And especially when you have an always on hiring process, right? You're always looking for certain types of applicants, running these types of campaigns, getting in front of, people that you don't compete with on a business level, but you do compete with on the types of hiring that you do level. It's an interesting way to approach that.
Yeah, and this works really well in conjunction with like other ad campaigns. Maybe you have billboards or some you're running ads in the local market. It just reinforces, oh, this place looks like a good place to work. They're really aggressive. I'm seeing them on Candy Crush, for God's sake. We should really go over there and play, right? Or work.
Yeah,
So,
I don't think it's ever just one thing. And I think it's
yeah.
that holistic approach, making sure that it's seen. I mean, well, what's the stat that they used to always say that it's seven touches before so somebody actually sees you or recognizes you or knows that they've seen you. It's making sure that you get those in front of people a lot more.
Yeah, but I've never seen really a lower cost per impression type platform. I mean, it's really inexpensive as far as impressions go, and you're definitely hitting the right people with the geofence. So, very interesting. Let's talk about some local scenarios. Like, let's say I'm a new restaurant in town, and I have a great Friday fish fry. We're in Wisconsin, so we got to talk fish fries. How would I use geofencing to get some business from the competitive bar down the street that has a good fish fry?
Well, similar to how we were talking about with the employees, if you want to target people that are going to an establishment that is similar to yours, you're trying to gain their market share, you can advertise that way, right? That's where you would set it up. Set it up on all the different locations that people are going to so that you are making sure that you're building that list of people that are going to the fish fries, right? They're going to those restaurants. Make sure that they know that you're around. And being able to do that on a granular scale does help make sure that it's going to, you know, get in front of people in the other ways that you should be advertising, like we said.
Yeah, it's hyper-targeted, right? It's not just one location I can advertise to. I could draw a circle around every restaurant in town and advertise to everybody that's there on a Friday night about how great my place is, you know? And again, like Evan said, I think it's got to be in conjunction with other campaigns, but this is a super effective and low-cost way to kind of reach out about your fish fry if you're new restaurant in town. That's a lot about geofencing. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think a lot with the geofencing side of things is just to, you know, understand how that works. That is going to be a little bit specific to either the company that you're choosing to run this or the platform that you're choosing to run this by. You know, make sure you understand how that data is collected. You know, it isn't that there's an always on and everybody's tracking you. Well, maybe that is the case. However, for the advertising side of things, you know, there needs to be some sort of action that they can identify that you were at that location, pulling out your cell phone, having GPS enabled, opening one of the apps, you know, that they have a partnership with. Like, those are the types of things that need to happen for a lot of these platforms. So understanding what data they're using, how they're collecting that data, that's going to help make sure that you're getting in front of people that are actually at least a high amount of people that are hitting that geofence area. And I think that's important because there's a lot of different tools out there. There's a lot of different companies that are doing this. So making sure that you are choosing the right one there, doing your due diligence is important. The other thing I would say is that, you know, don't neglect the creative. You know, what does your ad say? Just because you can get in front of somebody, that doesn't mean that it's going to give you results if you don't have a good ad. You know, if you don't have a good message, if you don't have a good reason, you know, if you have, we'll just take your scenario of targeting, you know, welders at another company for it. If your ad just says, hey, it's the same thing but different, I don't know how many people are going to switch. You know, if you start pitching sign-on bonuses, things like that, you know, give them a reason to make that switch, then not only are you getting in front of them with the geofencing, but then it's the other side where the creative and the messaging and things like that that actually drive the results.
That's a great point. And the other thing is, when they get there to apply for that job, you better well have a optimized site for mobile, you know, applications, right? And most companies don't. I've been shocked at this. You know, you get to the site and they want you to fill out a huge application with, you know, multiple forms and a lot of information. That's just not typically practical on a cell phone. So like what we've taken the approach of, let's kind of do a pre-application. We just get their name, some basic contact information, submit, and then get them in the door. The HR manager can follow up and get them to fill out that ungodly, awful app when they get to your location. But if you want to see more eyeballs, you know, don't expect them to go from their mobile phone to some non-mobile friendly huge application they need to fill out on their phone. If you really just need to create that contact, kind of like marketing, you nurture them, you get them in, you get the basic contact information, get them in, then get them to do that application if that's what you need when you're ready to hire them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the kind of like marketing is a good end note for it, unless you had more to talk about the topic, where, you know, this is just another way to get in front of people. And there's a lot of ways to get in front of people now. I don't think anybody would say this should be your only way in getting in front of people, but having that right marketing mix of getting the attention and then being able to do the next step of fulfilling, right? Having the right calls to action, having the right imagery, like, everything needs to work together.
Yeah, I would agree. It's just not it's a tool. It's not the only tool you need to, you know, most good campaigns have this as a component, but it's not the sole thing. So great topic, Evan. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you. And if anybody would like to learn more, or just quite honestly, you know, make my entire week or month, I should say, possibly, just make sure that you like, subscribe to this. All of that does help us know that you are out there listening and enjoy the topic so we can produce more.
Yeah, if you've got a topic you want us to cover as well, you know, shoot us a note, contact us on our website. And if you want to learn more about geofencing or you have an idea, We love talking marketing. So just reach out, Evan and I. We'd love to jump on a call and talk about your plan and brainstorm with you. So have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Foremost Media Marketing Chat podcast. If you want to stay on top of your marketing game, make sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. For more episodes, show transcripts, and marketing insights, go to foremostmedia.com.